Folks, coming up in the next hour, what are the lessons, the psychological lessons learned from 9/11? In this hour, we are still here in studio with Dr. Ian Bradley, clinical psychologist, industrial psychologist. I will give you out his number where you can reach him during the week, but you also have the opportunity to reach him right now, 514-790-0991. Star Talk, that's star 8255 on your cell. That's a free call on Bell Mobility. We are talking, we have a very interesting discussion. We have some interesting texters as well about the different workplace environments out there, family workplaces, good organizations, poor organizations. With the time we have remaining, maybe we could also talk a little bit about the person themselves. You mentioned a number of things throughout this whole thing that seem to be helpful for the individual. One of them, treating the job as if they are an entrepreneur in their own job, getting that sense of, I guess, control and mastery. Mm-hmm. What are some other factors? We talk about responsibility here, which can be excessive. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other factors that an individual brings to the work environment as opposed to what comes from the work environment?
Well, I think then you're one of the areas that I look at, it would be work style in terms of how people accomplish the task, because you're absolutely right. In terms of the actual job, most people don't have difficulty in doing their particular job, whether it's a doctor or a lawyer or whatever. But it's the style, and in particular, dealing with the amount of information that we have and interruptions. Interruptions are very, very difficult for people. Our brains are not capable of dealing with a lot of interruptions, and our short-term memory is limited, as you know, to about 9 chunks of material that we have. And when we are constantly going from one task to another, it can be extremely stressful. So one of the things that I ask people to do, and it's not only my suggestion, it comes from a lot of people in industrial psychology and time management, is get it out of your head. So I remember when I was a manager at the Royal Vic, a chief psychologist, and I'd be working on 5 things in my office, and I'd walk, I don't know, to go and get a cup of coffee. I'd have 3 people to stop me on the way mm-hmm. and tell me things. And they, for each of them, it was a small thing, but it was number 7, 8, and 9 in my thing, in my short-term memory. And so I eventually got into the habit of saying, gee, it's great to talk to you. It's great to see you. How'd you do on the weekend? But send it to me in an email.
Right.
So that you really
and then try
have
to get it off your desk.
Try
quickly.
To get it and try to get it out of your head. That's extremely important to write it down. To write it down in an electronic form, or to write it down on a piece of paper or post-it or whatever. But the more things that you're balancing in your head, the more difficult it is to concentrate, and the more difficult it would be to take any one of those things and put them into long-term memory. So where you really need it. So that's a style that's extremely important.
Interesting, interesting. Let's get to a caller now. We've got Kayla on the line. Kayla, good evening.
Hi, thank you so much for the topic. It's so important to be talking about this.
Well, thank you, I agree.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's one of the things that managers, I'm a manager, but I'm also managed. I've got somebody above me. And, you know, is to find people that are that can multitask, you know, that can do several jobs. That way there's, you know, when people leave on vacation, you know, they can take over. But one of the things that I'm finding more and more, and that's demanded of me, and I've actually had to, I used to work as a nurse, but even in the corporate world, and I've actually left nursing altogether, was, you know, it's almost like hiring a pilot to pilot his plane, but yet they want him to pass out the drinks, and then when he lands, unload his plane, you know? It's almost to a point where it's ridiculous. You know, we used to have a secretary, and, you know, she would have to answer the phone, but they wanted her to do accounting as she was answering the phone, which one requires an extrovert and the other one requires an introvert. So I told my boss, I said, you're going to miss some zeros here, you know? Like, Do you understand what I'm talking about if you're giggling?
Yeah. No, I think that's well phrased. Yes, I agree with you. I think the world of work has changed dramatically. Is that 30 years ago that we wanted people to do one particular job, and this was your job description, and these were the requirements, and that's all. But now we're talking about flexibility, and that you have to do whatever is demanded. And that has certain advantages. The advantages would be that you get options, you get a job enrichment. But on the other hand, your skill set set is being extended into areas where you're not competent at all, at least the demands. So that's a great example of a secretary that's in her off time has to be doing some balance sheets or something.
Okay, she's answering the phone. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
So you find this is a uniquely stressful thing for you at work, these multiple demands placed on you and then you have to place on others? Because you said
absolutely.
You're also kind of sandwiched in between both things, right? You're a manager and you're also managed.
Well, and it was a matter of letting my director know what I was seeing. I said, you can't have somebody, you know, answering the phone. She was a new secretary, and the other secretary, apparently, we both got there at the same time, had left as a result of that. But you could see it. I mean, this person was going to burn out, and she wouldn't have been good at answering the phone, and she wouldn't have been good at accounting. And that really takes a toll on somebody's self-esteem, plus the bottom line, because she might go off, you know, on burnout, take more sick days, et cetera, because you're never leaving work feeling accomplished. So let them finish. One of the things I used to say to employees, just finish your thought.
You very know, good. That's what you were just saying, Ian, right?
Oh, I agree. That in terms of completion, that you need a sense of satisfaction, and that comes with completion. But I think your vignette is so true, and it's regrettable that happens, and it's certainly not going to work.
Kayla, when you went to your manager and said to them, you know, this is a problem, were they responsive?
No, she didn't see it. She's not in the same reality. Some people have the gift of seeing that, you know, and some people don't. And, you know, it was just, no, just talking to a rock.
It's funny because the literature on leadership is voluminous, and there are so many things that you need. You need strategic thinking. You need the ability, once you've had strategic thinking, to communicate that to people. But I think one of the things that's primordial is know reality. That's key to being an effective leader, is that you can't plan and you can't take the company to a new level unless you fully accept where you are right now. So that phrase, know reality, is, I think, a key aspect for every successful manager or leader. And your boss, I think, had some deficiencies in that area.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that you can find bosses like that wherever you go, but it's more predominant. I've worked in the States, I've worked in Toronto, I've worked here in Montreal, and this was just a couple of years ago, and it was just, maybe it's because I'm getting older and I'm waking up and realizing certain things, and, you know, and I'm seeing more things, but I'm just realizing just how backwards, you know, some Quebec companies still are, in the sense it's almost like pre-union.
Mm. Do you think we're behind here as compared to other places?
I really don't know. We shouldn't be. We've got great business schools. Maybe it's, as you said before, that there's a high percentage of family-owned businesses in Montreal. Perhaps maybe that's one of the reasons. But with the availability of information and articles on the internet, I'm not sure why we should be.
Well,
I do some health. Some corporate training as well, and go into different companies. And I have a health radio show, actually, and so I talk a lot, fairly, you know, a lot about this type of topic in terms of corporate wellness. And, you know, one of the comments that actually came out was, you see it a lot, and it's not to judge anybody, but you see it a lot in Quebec companies that are family run or just that have started up in Quebec. They don't have that global vision.
Well, certainly, thank you very much for the call, Kayla. I think, obviously, we're talking about family businesses have their unique sets of challenges, and one of them is that they tend not to be structured in any mm-hmm. corporate kind of way.
Yeah, that's exactly the problem, is that their expertise is in the entrepreneurial aspect and the working hard. And I mean, I've seen many family companies, and the hours that people have put in and what they have risked all the way along in order to achieve has been fantastic. But on the other hand, it's you have to turn it over, and you have to realize, and this is especially true, I see it in the area of accounting and finance, where you have companies that are a multi-million dollar business, and they're still trying to control the finances as if they were dealing with a single cash register to make sure that they're not spending any money that's inappropriate. So that there are some areas that lag behind in terms of they're not catching up to the sales and to the multinational nature of the sales of the family business.
Interesting. We're going to, unfortunately, run out of time pretty soon. First, I want to make sure we don't miss this. Ian, if people want to reach you for your advice, for counseling, for therapy, for suggestions, what's the number they can get to you at?
Sure, and the 514-867-4807. And I also have a website where people can go, and it's ianfbradley.com.
Okay, excellent. Folks, well, by the way, we'll post that in our interesting links, both the phone number and the website for you to look at. So if you want to get this, if you don't get it from us right now. In the minute or so remaining, Ian, any words of wisdom, any last-minute tips for all us working people out there?
I think it goes back to what we said before. Be clear about what it is that you want to accomplish. Make sure and demand from your bosses that you've got the training and the tools to do it. Make sure as well that people are aware of your accomplishments. That's so clear. And try to institute some kind of system of measurement. I'm a really big fan of having metrics for things. I think you can overdo it, and there are some industries in particular, I think in retail banking, for example, where I've had managers that were subjected to something like 50 different scales of measurement. But nonetheless, have one or two scales that measure something and review it, and review it with the idea about how we can redirect training and formation in order to improve any kind of deficiency that show up.
Folks, you've listened to the really fantastic discussion here with Dr. Ian Bradley, a clinical and industrial psychologist, as you can tell, very well versed in the workplace. If you have issues in your workplace, he's the guy to go to, and you can reach him at 514-867-4807. Ian, thank you so much for taking the time to come in with us this evening.
Thank you very much. It's been great.
Thank you. Folks, coming up in the next hour, lessons learned from 9/11. What are the psychological impact of this disaster on us? What have we learned about the human spirit and human resilience? And what are people coping with now 10 years later? My name is Dr. Sidney Miller. You are listening to On Call here on Montreal's News Talk Leaders, CJAD 800.